Welcome back to the podcast, guys. We are here, episode two. We have two new fresh faces. I wouldn't call Hamesy's face fresh by any means. I think he's operated about 6 hours sleep in the last 6 weeks. We're joined by Mr. Martin Winston and Mr. Tom Hames. Guys, how are you doing?
Very well.
All good. All good. Thank you, mate.
I think these boys will be relatively frequent on the podcast, especially when the season gets kicked underway and we just do weekly roundups and kind of talk through how things are going and give you live feedback. And I think everyone's pretty much operating around the same shows and the same calendar. So I think as a collective, it's going to be pretty cool to see that unfold and just to generally document it across the course of that process as well.
Definitely. Yeah, no.
It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the start of the year. Certainly the first couple of shows and the people like in the men's open classic figure classes, stuff like that. I think that's going to be really fun. It's going to be good to see.
Yeah. Have you boys got you got Ben Weeder and the well the what's the name of the 25th of March? It's Kingdom Classic.
10X.
Is
it not 10X?
No, it's the Kingdom first.
Yeah.
Kingdom and then the Ben Weeder and then some after that. Yeah.
I think it's the JT after. I think the JT one's after, isn't it?
Yeah. When's yours, Martin? When's yours? Yeah, I've got about four doing that, I think.
Yeah.
Two classic boys, one short, one tall. And then I think one or two figure girls, I can't remember. Maybe, yeah, one or two figure girls, yeah.
Sweet.
So we should see.
Is it Maidenhead, Mark?
No, mine's in Wigan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now we're talking. Yeah.
It's 7 hours away from me.
It's only 45 minutes from me. it's so good. The venue there is so good, though. Wigan's venue is sick.
If they're using the same one that they used before, that one was sick. I like that one. Yeah.
It was really, really good. Really good.
Because last year they only had one, and I think Cuba's is the latter. I think it's in September, potentially.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to capture that sort of area in May. So it'd be good.
Cool.
But yeah.
Good.
You've got thick, open. Obviously, Caitlin's not doing it anymore, is she?
Yeah, no, she's done. So yes, I've got. So my classic guy is I can't say who he is because he's like so fucking paranoid about it. And like, trust me, he's a lovely, lovely chap. His genetics are probably some of the best in the UK. I would say definitely out of all the competitive scene. Yeah, probably one of the best genetics I've ever seen on someone for the classic sort of class. He's a young lad, but. He's very, very, very like he really gets in his own head on an every other day basis. So a lot of like I don't have to try hard as a coach with my practices to like get him where he needs to be. Like he can put in, oh mate, do 2,000 more steps like on a daily basis. Okay, cool. How much weight are you down this week? Oh, I've dropped 4 pounds. And he's like, glutes are in and lower back's in. And I'm like, cool. He just loses his head a bit, certainly with like worrying about side effects of PED stuff as well. Like he gets a little bit paranoid about stuff. So I've had to just calm him down on those. But I've also got Reese McDonald as well, who's going to be a super for the first one more than likely, and then a heavyweight for the one where it counts.
He's a freak, mate.
He's very, very good. He beat me in 2016. Well, everyone beat me in 2016. But, He's really, really good. But we competed against each other when he did the Saxon Classic as a junior. And we've stayed in contact from then until the show. And then we spoke sort of over the years and stuff. And he did his own thing last time, but then he's come to me for this one. So he's fucking big, man.
I've seen him in person.
Like 5 foot whatever, and he's like fucking 245, like shredded. Well, coming down to shredded, like, you know. So
the overall Kingdom Classic last year, was it?
Yeah, he won the Kingdom, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen him backstage when.
And then he lost out to the freaky German guy, Chris Karl. Chris is also doing it again this year.
Is he? You know that for sure?
Yeah.
Because Germany's week after the Ben Weeder, isn't it?
No, he's not doing FIBA. He's coming here because, he's coming here. I don't know if he's doing FIBA as well. But, and then there's. Who else is in supers? You've got good guys, haven't you?
I've got two in supers. One I can tell you about. The other I can't.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You get that. It's kind of mad, isn't it, that you get that?
I've got probably a light heavyweight, maybe. Again, I can't
play. So. Oh, you can't. I know who that is, but you can't say. But like, yeah. Like, who's the one that you can tell us about in supers?
Ryan Mackens.
Yeah, big Ryan. Yeah. He looks good, man. He looks good.
Good improvements. You know what I mean? He's had a productive offseason. He hates being in an offseason scenario, just like myself. And like,
every super him. Hates being in offseason. Yeah. We were like,
the thing is, like, he's I've dropped his calories drastically, and he's like, mate, I'm still not fucking hungry. I'm like, mate, it's fine. You're dropping like.
Doesn't matter. Just be not hungry.
Yeah.
I dropped 4 kilos this week just because I dropped because I try and get him in line, and I was like, fuck, mate, you're gonna be flat as fuck. But we'll come in, and I'll just try and have to sort of balance you out, bring you back up to maintenance. It'll be an easy approach for him.
Yeah.
Do you find as
sometimes you get that, don't you? Sorry, Ross.
That's how. Do you find as he's working more heavier guys that initial part of the prep is like significantly more smooth in terms of the drop off?
Oh yeah.
it's so easy. Like, to go and...
Hi Tom. I missed 2 meals today. I'm down 8 pounds, and it's like, oh. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Go do 5 minutes of cardio. It's like, oh, I lost 8 kilos.
How many calories did you burn? Oh, the machine broke. Like, Cal, what about you? Have you got anything to start off?
I have got a shitload of men's physique.
Bro, is Alex? Is Alex? Is that his name?
Yeah, Alex is doing it. Doing it. Michael Strager.
He's so good, man. He's such a nice physique to look at on stage.
Yeah.
That's like if I could look like anyone for like the rest of my life or something. Like I would love to have that type because his abs, mate, they're fucking so cool. They're so sick. They're like such a nice look.
He does. Yeah. It's that. Like if I seen you on a beach, I'd be jealous.
He's such a lovely chap as well. I'm like, what have you got? Like a 2-inch cock? Because like you've got everything else. Like you go. Surely something's wrong with you. Like you're so lovely. You're really like genuine to chat with, and you smash it at bodybuilding. Like didn't you like compete on like. Girl doses of Anilar at one point and still beat people.
It was mad. This is the first time that we've prepped with like a proper Andrew load in terms of like pushing for. It's still very very moderate. He's on like 800 milligrams total a week, but he's gonna be very very good, mate. But they're all gonna be good. Straker's fucking enormous. He's like 248 pounds this morning, like close to probably being like 2 weeks out from condition. He's 248 pounds.
That's wild, man.
What class are you in? Men's physique and supers.
there are points in the off season where he'd like drive up to Shreds to see me, and I'd be like, "Bro, you just need to stop training. Like this is getting out of hand." He's enormous, mate. He's enormous.
I think I have one in that show, and even then, it's a question mark. Dom Kirby, the classic guy.
Oh, okay.
He's very good. He's so good.
And he's like one of those few people who doesn't realize it, you know, which is like both a blessing and a curse for him. He's very good. We started prepping a little bit earlier, and I just said, you know, if you're ready to do March and we can qualify that a little bit earlier, it opens up the Irish show, it opens up Sweden. You know, there's a load of shows dotted around that kind of. Kind of hedges bets there a little bit. And plus,
what date's muscle contest? And is there pro qual muscle contest?
Yeah, 13th of May. So I did the pro qualifiers at the start of the day, and the actual Olympia qualifiers is the evening time.
I might chuck a few more people into Kingdom just to tick the box then so that they can go and do that maybe, because that makes sense to me.
So it's so easy to get to as well.
So when's the JT? Is the JT after... Is that before Muscle Talk? Muscle Contest.
I have the order here. JT is actually 13th of May as well.
Shit, so you're going to have to put them in Kingdom if they want to tick the box.
Yeah, so it's going to have to be the Kingdom if they're going to do it.
Okay,
so.
That's fine. I can put people on stage fat and just not worry.
Portugal won the 1st of May as well, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's a weird one, isn't it? When you have to, like, but then again, it's like, oh, like, he's not going to look good at this one, but you're going on stage, do a ballerina twirl, and then walk off the stage, and you've ticked the two bros box. Yeah. But then we want you to go do muscle talk, and you'll just be fucking on the ball.
Yeah, because that's good. I would do that. I think for some athletes, particularly someone like Dom, and you won't mind me saying it, like, that vote of confidence is kind of needed. You know, to kind of go in there and be like, okay, I've come in there, I've delivered. Like, does he need to take the whole thing overall-wise? No, not necessarily. I think if I was to prep him to try and do that, I think it would actually take away from the also contest. So I think if you can go in there, get a vote of confidence, get a class win, something like that, just to go in there and be like, right, I've ticked that box. I know I'm cool. I'm ready to rock and roll. But, you know, he's put on a rake of tissue since his last season as well. So it's going to be cool to see. And he keeps pulling off and he just doesn't look any different in terms of the size. So I'm just like, okay, let's keep doing this. You know,
that's good. Now, here's a question for you guys, actually, to be fair, Cal, Martin, and obviously you've had probably a little bit more experience with this, but Ross as well. Have you found that when you, these days, you aren't looking to get them to smash every single fucking thing that they need to do when there's more important stuff down the line? So qualifiers, sometimes you are genuinely just looking to tick a box. And I think I've started to realize that this year, that I said this to someone on a consult call, like maybe like 2-3 weeks ago. I said, going for a peak for a show, when you do it to the absolute like most efficiency and you're pulling in lots of different, you know, manipulations and things like that, that really can, when controlled, nail a look, like really nail a look. It's like an ultimate move in a video game. You can use it once, but it drains your energy down to the absolute bare minimum. So you can't use it again then. And I feel like if you try and repeatedly, okay, so we're going to do insulin load and diuretics and aldactone and blah, 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 and you're going to deplete down and you're going to do this. And then they go, oh, 2 weeks later, you're going to do the same. Like you really, really, what I found, and I realized this with Deb as well, because when she did she looked amazing at like the first one, like at the MK Classic. And then it was slightly worse at Finland, but nothing too discernible. And then the British, she just had gone to shit because the body just couldn't handle it anymore. And then I was like, fuck, we just should have like barely touched the sides for the first two and brought 100% to the Brits. But live and learn, I suppose.
Realistically, you've got Germany, well, you've got Benwida, Germany, Sweden, Portugal, Ireland in the space of about, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, maybe?
That's wild, man. So many pro qualifiers. It's definitely the most I've seen in it, like that close of time, that are like not necessarily most that are actually accessible, you know, the kind of way that you can actually just get up and go to if you really needed to without any major stress to like your routine. You know, it's pretty wild. It is pretty wild.
Interesting, isn't it? It's interesting.
Yeah.
But interesting. I don't know if you guys have felt it. I mean, Carl, do you have the same sort of thing? Oh, Zach's here.
Oh, Zachary. Yeah, I think Zach's actually shocked that I was actually on time today. So he predicted me a bit late. Yeah, for sure. I think where that comes in hand is obviously regional selection strategically relative to when the pro qualifier is. So you've got time to bounce off, or you just get it done and then have the window of time across the year to do whatever pro qualifier you want. And then it's, you know, especially last year when I had so many people that were doing either pro shows or pro qualifiers that were relatively back-to-back, maybe 1 or 2 weeks difference, especially when we're over in the USA. Like we had Tampa and then Texas the week after. Then like Valentin, for example, went and did California the week after that. And it is a case of like every time you run that peak and you push them to 100% of what you feel as though is possible at that given time, it's a little bit more unpredictable when you come to repeat it. And it's just, there's almost like you just need to make decisions more reactively based on what's happening.
Rather than like have a set motion and just stick to it, you need to be more in tune and back and forth a lot, don't you? I think, yeah.
It plays a good role to be with that individual because you can see how certain things can be affected. Like with Lewis, because we've done Prague, Spain, and then Romania 3 weeks back to back with the flying as well. I know it's only short distance, but you still have to sort of acclimatize to a certain degree in your settings and then get your head straight for that show. So we approached it with, right, okay, we need to look at this prep and try and manage fatigue first, because we're literally going to be at sort of pinnacle for 3 weeks. I didn't want to sort of go in at half-heartedly for Prague. I wanted to be at 100% for Prague and be 100% for the other two shows as well. So it's about trying to manage that going into the show and then try and not be able to be so sort of deflated come the end of that first show, being able to manage yourself through, I guess.
Absolutely. What do you think it was his best look going in for those three?
The last one.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? You've done that well then, haven't you? I think that's good that you can do that, It means you pick up on stuff, don't you? Like, you know, it's useful.
We all know Lewis is a freak, and we've had multiple conversations about the stuff that loading wise that he takes. You know what I mean? It's just pushing that boundary to get that pinnacle look, and it worked really, really well. Don't get me wrong, he looked fantastic in all of them, even though ironically the first show he placed the highest and the last show he placed the
it's just the crowd that you go up against, isn't it? Like,
You know what I mean? But
big Zach's in the house. Hi, mate.
I'm literally sat here. I'm sat here thinking, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. What knows?
Zach's been on the podcast. Zach's been on for 13 seconds and he's already dropped two F bombs.
There's a swear jar. We should have a little like tally in the corner.
How are you boys doing anyway?
Good.
The new year started off with a bang or what?
Oh yes.
Yeah, good actually. Yeah, I'm deprived of sleep.
Part of the job. That's part of the job, right?
That situation with the peaking situation, I also think has relevance over like the class as well. So if you took like a men's physique athlete and you're like they're in condition and I just need to like put them on stage, basically I might manipulate food and water a little bit, but I'm not going to do that much drastic.
Yeah.
As long as they don't go and fuck it when they get off stage and binge for 48 hours, then it's quite predictable when you're looking at athletes that you just need to put on stage in condition. Whereas you've got a bodybuilder or someone, you know, of a slightly heavier musculature that you need to actually peak a little bit more thoroughly. That's where the potential complications come in if it's misjudged.
Yeah. I found something similar when I was with Yemi last year. I think because he was so off in his qualifier a couple of weeks beforehand, it actually gave me the opportunity to peak him in the second show. Yeah. Like if he was like ready and just lost because of whatever reason, he lost because he wasn't lean enough, you know, but like because he wasn't 100%, it gave me the opportunity to work with what he had to bring him in at 100% where it mattered most.
Yeah,
I genuinely think if he was doing something, you know, a little bit more assertive in the lead up to that first show, I don't think I would have had the ability to bring him in the way that I did for the second one.
He's fresh. He was fresh. Like, how many calories was he, carbs and shit was he on when he came to you?
when I put him on the pro show, like, he got off, he weighed in for the amateur angles, like, it was something stupid, like, I think it was only like 86 or something, and he got on to the pro stage of the angles at like 92.
Oh, brilliant.
Just kept feeding them. You know,
it's like, Tom, have you got any super job to give him?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, just walking around, I was like, who has
Get around. Anyone got any Anadrol? Superdolantis, what have you got? How much shit can we stick in Yemi? Can we win a pro show just on Superdraw? I'm sorry, win a pro show just on Superdraw.
The irony is, when we're at shows, we almost know who to get what from as well. It's like, oh, Tom's here.
I've got a resident modafinil.
Oh, God, yeah. Fucking hell, I need one of them sometimes on a fucking show though, Jesus.
Yeah. I always have a pocket full of them. It's what I would hypothetically say if it was true.
Zach, how many hordes of men's physique boys have you got for the first two of the year?
Not to be fair, most of mine are going for the true athlete one, and then towards September, because there's a real nice bounce towards the British. I've got a load of men's physique guys doing the September regionals. Our show and the one before, but then you've also got straight after the pro coach or the Racetrick Rumble, you've got Italy, which is an AO. And then you've got a week after, which is the British finals, and then the week after that, you've also got Germany. So most of them are planning on doing those four shows.
That's cool. It's got a similar sort of approach for the British. I've got a lot of good figure girls and super heavies doing the Brits. Then they're good. If they don't get it there, what I say to people now is, I'm like, it's all lovely that we think we're going to win every show that we're going to go to, and we go with that mindset. That's cool. Like, cool. But you need to have insurance policy, because if you don't have insurance policy, you're going to have a bad season. You're going to fucking hate bodybuilding when you're done with it. So like, oh, I could have done this. Yeah. So why didn't you plan to? I have like some of the Scandinavian ones, I believe, like maybe Finland or Denmark or something like that. And then there's like Austria, and then there's like Netherlands, and then there's like, you know, so like backed up a few in between sort of, you know, bits and bobs there. So it lands quite nicely. But I've got a good handful going for the true athletes as well. So
I only got one, I think, doing the true athlete.
I've got maybe like seven doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a good few.
I'm going to be in America though, because it's in between Tampa and Texas, isn't it? So it's like,
what date is it?
It's August.
13th of August? Is it?
August 13th, yeah.
So have you guys got, well, actually, to be fair, I think only Ross and Cal train girls, but have you guys got any like figure girls going for sort of stuff towards that back end? Because I was sort of just looking and they've only got, not figure, sorry, I meant physique, but physique stuff is like weirdly like only the qualifier before the British, isn't it? And only the qualifier before the true athlete stuff. Like they don't spread that physique, women's physique stuff over the space of the year. They've changed it. I spoke to Ian about it.
It's like, if you want to put... You mean there's less shows?
They don't have the class at any of the qualifiers apart from the one that is literally right before a pro qual. So before the true athlete, whichever one that is before that, there is women's physique class there. And then before the British, there is one pro, you know, whichever one that is. I don't know if that's your guys' one. That one is, it's only women's physique there. So it makes it a little bit weird for me being someone who coaches those bigger girls. So,
I kind of get it. It's a nuisance, but I do
get it. It makes sense to group them so that you actually get some competition. Otherwise, it's like, oh, you're the only competitor. You won Masters, Beginners, the Open, and now you've got no rules.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the true athlete falls in literally directly in the middle of Tampa and Texas. So it's where it's fly back from there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's Mississippi, cool. as well, I think, after Texas as well. So
awesome.
For like 3 or 4 weeks. Cool.
What pros are we going to
I had Josh up here. I had Josh up here about 2 hours ago. He's literally just jumped in. 10 weeks out, we're going to do our One Bro Pro.
Yes,
because he's 120 kilos and he's leaner now than he was at like 10 weeks out in the last prep, just because he's held condition.
He looks sick. Yeah, he looks very good, man. He looks very good. Now, pros wise, I just have Yemi this year. So he gets on.
Nice. I've got Sarah going for back two shows back end of the year.
Sweet.
Is she doing US or Europe?
One US because they really like her over there. They like her shape and all that sort of, you know, whatever. And then one European, one Alicante or something like that, Spain or something. Right. So two, but that's literally like the women's physique calendar is fucking dreadful. Like it's fucking dreadful. And considering they're not doing points this year, there's going to be like 12 girls, 13 girls, 14 girls maximum at the Olympia, maybe less. Like it's really weird. But yeah, so she's doing it. And I've got Natasha who's got four lined up. Cool. So that should be cool.
Is Natasha my eldest girl?
I'm trying to talk Rob into doing the Masters Romania Pro Show.
Sick.
Masters Olympia.
The Olympia. Yeah.
I think I've got
Is that Masters Olympia or just the Masters Pro Show?
There's an Olympia, but Masters Olympia.
Romania's got a Masters Pro Men's Physique show as well.
Yeah,
in August.
Brilliant.
That's so cool, man.
I think Kelvin's applying for the Masters Olympia.
Is he?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, mate. You tear up there.
Yeah.
What's your guy doing? What's your guy doing? The guy that won the Natural Two Bros.
We were talking about that today actually, because it's a pro-am in Virginia, which is like the 17th of November. It's the Ben Wheeler pro-am ticket to Olympia. It's like the natural way to the Olympia.
Okay.
And it's the only way. So that we were talking about today actually. I said we're lining up for that. I mean, he could go into an open pro show. But I think we were just going to test the waters with natural at the end of the day. You know what I mean? He's got a great little physique. So we'll see what we can do. Like the guys that we've seen who won this year weren't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the annoying thing is that the PCA Pro in Spain is 2 days after. So I might be in Virginia and then have to fly directly to Spain.
Fuck that.
We need a teleport.
Get yourself a private jet. Get yourself a private
jet. There's five of us here. We get a little PJ. We let Loki fly it.
We definitely wouldn't make it to any destination then.
I just want a pilot on, and I smoke a few of them.
Loki's just hotbox the cockpit. There's going to be a fair amount of travel again this year, isn't there?
Well, if you can get Sarah or Nat or both to the Olympia, I'll be going. Obviously, fingers fucking crossed. Hopefully, Florida. Obviously, was because it's not. He's not in Vegas now, is it? It's moved to Florida.
Yeah,
One more year.
That'd be fucking surreal to go there, bro. That'd be fucking mad.
Yeah, it would be crazy. I told myself a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, the first time I go to the Olympia, I want to be coaching somebody there. Something that's kind of like my
I'm
thing.
Saying, yeah, I'm not going if I'm not like, I'm not fucking going. No. So, no,
gonna, as a fan, fuck off.
I might just tell Rob I'm going to take you away on holiday.
Yeah.
Here, mate. Holiday. Yeah.
Just diet for this holiday. Get your shred on.
Yeah, just get really, really lean. Yeah.
Are you sure I need Anadrol for a holiday? Yes.
Cal, have you got many prospects for the O this year?
There's a lot, bro. Yeah, there's a lot.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah, well, I've got a fucking ridiculous pro men's physique team now as well. So I think with Zach's boys and Ross boys, we'd probably take over the world this year with men's physique.
That'd be mint. That's good. That's gonna be fucking sick,
in Spain, remember when we were in Spain, that tall kid that's seen you backstage, what's he doing? Did he get in contact with you?
Yes, but he's still off season.
Oh,
really? Off season, yeah. I'm excited to see Tyler Smith at the back end of the year.
Yeah, he's done.
He's good. Yeah,
very good.
I will say this. I had him winning the one. as lovely as Elton's shape was from the front and from the side and stuff, I think overall, he was like Tyler was on. I was looking at him backstage and I'm like, yeah, really good, like really good this year. Like separated detail, that was impressive to see. But hopefully, that would be good.
I think there's just two very different looks, isn't it? Like when Elton won that, I was like, well, it could go either way. And I was like, Tyler looks insane, and I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler wins. And then Elton also looks fucking insane. So if Elton wins, it's like, fair play.
Realistically, you change one judge on that panel and that result changed, doesn't it? You know, only one, that's all it takes, is one swap. Like, oh, he couldn't make it, so we got someone different. And then, and it's cool that yeah, Tyler shouldn't have been. Obviously, it's fucking gutting, right? Like, absolutely gutting. But to be that close means that he's bloody well knocking on the door. He really is. Yeah,
I agree. They're two different. They were two different kinds of good, weren't they?
Yeah. Elton is like genetically, just there, and Tyler's like grafted his bollocks off for that.
That's exactly what it is. That's not good.
Yeah, he's. Well, he pulled out the Olympia last year, didn't he? Because it wasn't the right environment, and there's quite a lot of stress on him. And he's been coasting now for like how many weeks has it been? Like 5 weeks. And he checked in yesterday or the day before, and he was like, right, I want to start prep. And bear in mind, like, this is a guy that's like trained, like he's just been training and like doing a bit of cardio, eating some meals, and I'm like, nobody looks like that when they've just been coasting for 5 weeks.
Man's been coasting for 30 years. Still looks like that.
It's honestly, it's insane.
He used to be a super, didn't he? Are we on about Tyler?
No, Elton.
Sorry. I think we're talking about that. Yeah. Tyler
used to be a super. Yeah, I know. I mean, Elton, mate. Like, the ability for him to like get. Yeah. Dialed in from just like the set point he holds at 70% is like, it's fucking, when you put it to 100%, it's just absolutely insane.
Mental.
Tyler's what I think Tyler competed in NABBA, didn't he?
Yeah,
UKBFF, wasn't it?
Was it UKBFF?
Yeah, UKBFF, yeah. I think
he used to be a super, didn't he? And then he had the kidney issues and he had to stop, didn't he?
Yeah. We've had
do you know with a kidney transplant, you end up having three kidneys. You don't just have, you don't get two. They just leave it. They don't take it out.
They don't take the other one out.
Well, there was a guy who ended up having five kidneys in total because he kept having to have kidney transplants, but they don't take one out and then put a new one in. They just leave it. So he had like, it's like three on one side and two on the other is what he ended up having. This guy did, yeah. And
the same thing.
We can't put any more, and we just can't fit any more.
There's
in.
No more fucking room. Your EGFR isn't good now, I don't fucking know.
It's mega diuresis. The guy just pisses for 14 hours a day.
At that point, you realise just to take out the super drum, just
imagine going with somebody like a Okay, so we're gonna just put this on paper. It does cause a bit of kidney damage, and the answer, don't worry, I have five. We're fucking right, so let's go.
Is that what we were talking about, insurance policy?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're going to the Arnolds.
Say again?
You're going to Ohio.
That's the plan, mate. It's just logistics at the moment. But yeah, we haven't booked anything yet. I was intending to go, but it's just logistics at the moment. But it would be great to get out.
Oh,
Darwin in Classic.
Nice.
Cool. That open, we were saying last week, that open is going to be a fucking joke. That is insane.
Oh, bro, it's crazy. You put 300 grand on the table, and someone's like, okay.
Yeah.
did they up the price or something?
Yeah. I think it was.
I'm a bit out of tune with that, but it's because loads of people were bombing it. They were like, nah, fuck, I can't be arsed.
I think originally it was like 400,000 total accumulative prize money for all classes or something. But then they just said like 300,000 for open. You know, that's a big
for the number one spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, money. Nice. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
People coming off the Olympia,
people who are like feeding that like post chill hunger are like, I can do without this burger actually.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, man.
I can do it. That's crazy.
Wild.
Have we seen who else is doing the first one of the year within the UK? Not like people that we coach or anything like that, because I believe Josh Law is going for
Josh
it.
Josh Law's doing it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Very good
lineup, I think.
It really is.
I think it's gonna be a real busy show, these first two.
Especially, I think the pro qual will be interesting because you can obviously enter it from any country within sort of wherever, can't you? And you can come over if you haven't done anything. So we could end up just getting like that fucking absolute Godzilla that turned up last time. do you remember in the fucking supers?
Yeah,
because I remember Ballinger being in it.
Yeah,
yeah. Ballinger sort of said to me, he was like, oh, I saw him backstage and realized that I was going to Sweden in 2 weeks' time. I was just like, oh, cool, okay. So it's like,
I remember that.
Yeah, it'd be good. But then the thing is, because there are so many around that time, it's like, do they pick their shows rather than come over here?
It's also cool as well with the volume of shows and even pro qualifiers. It's like, it's probably the best opportunity, at least I can remember. Obviously, I'm relatively new to it, but even just in general, thinking about you guys, where you can kind of prep somebody into the show that's going to suit the look rather than prepping them for a show that you have to do. Like, you can kind of let the look dictate where they land, which I think is a really nice liberty. You know, being able to have that many shows in that close proximity, it's like, well, if we're not ready for this one, there's another one 3.5 weeks. If we're not ready for this one, there's another. You can just literally, you can perfect that timing wise. You don't have to like rush anything. You don't have to try to pull anything out of your ass. What's this? Someone's ringing me.
You boys may have answered this already. Like, but have you got anyone in the? You got many in the regional and the Benweeder?
Yeah, Ian Martin has got a couple. I think Cal's got loads of entries going and stuff. So, yeah, I've got Reese McDonald doing it. Who won last year the overall. So he's doing, but he's going to be a super this year. And then super for the first one, and then most likely a heavy for the overall. It depends how fast he comes down, because he flies off him at the start, absolutely flies off him, and now it's like trickling down to that two and a half, three pound a week sort of thing. So, which is nice. I've got a classic guy as well who's shit hot, absolutely shit hot.
I've got a men's physique guy and a classic guy.
Who's that African guy you're coaching at, Zach? Who's the classic guy, I think?
Italian.
He's
fucking good. He's just started prep, so he's doing he'll do a regional just before, and then he's going to Spain. He's fucking so good. I've seen him literally competing. He's basically a client of is a good friend of one of my clients, and I've seen him like 2 years competing, and every time I see him on stage, I'm like, what a waste. What a waste. Because I'm thinking, if this guy comes in, like, you've seen him, Cal. I've seen him, Ross. Like, he's going to be very fucking hard to beat. He's just a freak. Big, tall. Like, he holds his muscle well for the frame.
Just never nailed his conditioning. Did he used to prep himself, or has he just had not very good advice
He had one of his friends who was coaching him from Italy. This last show, I saw him. I think it was the one that Yemi did. I think it was the regional that Yemi did.
Yeah.
And I walked into the show, and he was on stage. I didn't know he was competing. And I seen him on stage, and I think he came second. And I was like, I text my client and I was like, why is Julio up there again and not in condition? And he was like, are you here? I was like, yeah, I've just got here. He was like, oh, can you come around the back? Julio's here. He wants to speak to you. So I went around and he was with all his men. And the first thing I said to him was like, I grabbed his ass and I was like, look, why are you still fat? Why are you still fat? I've told you before. I've said,
I'm not to tell when I see him, but I don't talk about it, you know.
I was like, you're so good. And he was like, I just do what I'm told. And he was like, a couple of weeks after we spoke a little bit, and then he was like, right, okay, I'm gonna start with you. He had a real good, like, mini, should you call it a mini off season, and then he's, like I said, just started prep now, 14 weeks out, and it's you know what it's like. It's sort of like, you know, this guy's got fucking loads of potential, but it's, can he prep? Mm-hmm. Like, can he, you know, can he prep? Because I've seen, like, you guys would as well, seen so many guys.
How frustrating is it when you're sat there and you see guys? Yeah. Like,
I'm sat here. I'm looking in the mirror at myself, thinking, if I had fucking 20% of your genetics, do you know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully you can prep, and it's going to be fucking good.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with someone about that sort of genetic predisposition, just to be shit hot at bodybuilding. But do you think that it, because they've had sometimes, not all the time, some they've had such an easy go getting to where they are now that they think they can use the same level of effort to get to where they want to go. Now, that's what I'm sort of thinking. It's not you, like, sometimes it's a predisposition with food where, you know, whatever. They just had an upbringing where they all ate shit as a family and they just can't seem to draw themselves away from, like, shit food and stuff like that. That's always something that seems to come up. But I think it's because, a lot of the time, it's because they just genuinely, oh yeah, if I miss two or three meals, I'm still up 2 pounds that week and I'm still stronger and I'm still better than, you know, whatever. And now it's like, oh, what if I eat a burger? I'm still going to be leaner by next week. And it's like, yes, but not by what competitions dictate, like, you know, or what you require to, you know, to be doing.
It's funny, like, he just started prep. He's done a week, and then his feedback for this first week of prep, he's like, oh, I'm missing a cheat meal. I'm like, you need to get used to that for a couple of weeks at least, yet, mate. Okay. And he was like, yeah, it's cool, coach, it's cool. I'm thinking, this is gonna be tough.
I've got every
confidence in him, and he talks at the minute, and it's just about action it now. So, you know, fingers crossed.
You can get one of those people, and when you're the coach that switches them into the, all right, listen, you're good, but you're not great yet. Like, yeah, you're, you know, and then you, when hold you do that with them, holy shit, man, that's so cool to do. Yeah. It is, because then they start getting, all right, I'm good for amateur, but I'm not good for pro yet. I need to be that genetics plus also that mental, like, doesn't matter what goes on in my life, prep is prep, and that's happening. So,
like, it's like the guys at the top at the minute, is it? The guys that, you know, the guys who are on the Olympia stage now. Yes, okay, they've got the, you know, they're predisposed to be on that stage. They were going to be on that stage, but the guys who are at the actual top.
Yeah,
they've got genetics and they graft.
Yeah. They don't really know the meaning of the word, like quit or like, oh, I missed my, no, you didn't miss it. You did it. You find a way to do it. Which is why, actually, do you know what I think? Like, what, like, because I've got, you know, multiple guys that are obviously like that, which is lovely. Like, Johnny and Sarah immediately popped to my head. You know, like, Sarah, with, you know, probably some of the best female muscle building genetics I would say I've ever seen. You know, I would say that. But she, and shape, structure, all of that. But she also, she'll do, if I said, oh, we're going zero on this, or we're doing this, or she's like, yeah, cool, just fine, I don't care, I don't give a shit how I feel, as long as I look amazing and as long as I win, I don't care, it doesn't matter. And when you put that with genetics, that's fucking, you know,
when you get clients say that, when you get clients say that, it's the most refreshing thing we're gonna get on.
We're gonna
be good friends.
I just had Greg Taylor's just run his blood work, and we've just entered that, like, exit of pre-prep phase, transitioning into prep. And he sent me a text the other day, and he was like, let me read it. He goes, this is the stuff that just makes you smile as a coach. He goes, I just got him in my WhatsApp as Titan. He goes, Be prepared to see one skinless human, and you can push me as hard as you want to. For what you want to achieve. And he goes, I love dark places. And I'm just there like, this is fucking brilliant. It's true. It's so true though. It's like the client that, you know, it's the irony of the ability for them to thrive in like highly stressful and highly challenging environments. Like some people, it will defeat them and, you know, psychologically and physically, whereas some people just fucking thrive off it. Like they love to just wake up.
I know you guys
keep on going.
Yeah, I know you guys probably say sort of same thing as well. I would take any client with, you know, average level genetics, but with that mindset over absolute insane genetics and just, you know, half-assed work ethic. Like, yes, you might get them to where they want to go by the skin of their teeth, but it's no fun doing that. Like, it's no fun knowing that you had to boot them up the arse every 5 seconds to stop fucking around. Whereas with the ones that just like, yeah, I did it. Of course I did it to the plan. Why are you even questioning that I would ever do it? You know, and it's like, those ones are just when you get that, it's just like like you said, refreshing, isn't it? It's nice.
It's like, Zach, you've trained with him a couple of times recently, but Connor Renshin is like, he's the biggest athlete robot you'll ever meet in your life. It's just like, whatever you say, if I told him, like, Connor, this week I want you to drop your calories by 100 and run through your kitchen door, like, he'll be like, how many times?
Yeah. He's a machine.
He's just an animal. He's an absolute animal. But like that ultimately makes the best bodybuilders. And a lot of the females that you'll see, like Sarah will be the same. I imagine Amanda's the same. Like a lot of females that are like, China was the same last year. You know, a lot of the females that are like elite level that go from the amateur to the pro, they're fucking animals. Like, these are the girls that have the highest resilience. They'll train the hardest. You wouldn't even blink it in, you know, swaying away from a plan and a protocol, because it's like, they just have it in them and they have it mentally as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably not Amanda, because she gets to eat burgers every week, but what's the plan at the moment, Amanda?
Hey.
Oh well, I'm back in now. What's
you're back in the room? What's the plan?
What's the plan for me? I'm just building
every year. Yeah. Getting huge.
Pushing a lot of leg work. Just working on
quad ham
back glute fitness. Yeah.
I thought she was done.
Yeah, never done.
Bodybuilders,
like,
mate.
Bodybuilders. It's like a big retirement party, and then she's like, yeah. Bye.
She needs to think back for retirement.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like the, you know, the attention. Oh, I'm retired. Oh no, I'm back here.
Brilliant.
It wasn't so long ago we were in backstage in Alicante, and Amanda's like, yeah, if I get a second call out, I like it, it's great, I'm just happy to be here. And she's like in the middle of it, like in the mix of this first call out, like battling to win, and we're like, she looks absolutely fucking insane.
How did I do? I was like, she's like, what, second call out or what, 11th maybe? Well, we're talking like fifth or sixth, babe. What?
That was good. I remember seeing that sort of. That was really cool. That was such a good look. That was absolutely such a good look. Unbelievable.
It's a shame because then we went to obviously Romania and they were just after a completely different look. Which is
absolutely when Amanda, that was so fucking weird to watch, because when you walked out, she was like, we said this, didn't we, in the crowd? Like when Amanda walked out, she was fucking awesome, and it was like, oh yeah, okay, first caller, here we go. And then she didn't, and then obviously after that, I think the nerves must have kicked in a bit as well after that. Yeah, everyone, that happens. Yeah, there, doesn't
it? I think Scarlett placed 11th in Spain and Amanda placed 6th, and then
they swapped.
Scarlett was 6th and Amanda was 11th. So like how the sort of judging was
they shifted
of...
around, don't they? Absolutely.
That's where the beauty of knowing where you're going and who the judges are going to be to. I think, like we've talked about it before, like just looking at who's going to be there, who's looking, whose eyes on, and then play to that. So you never go back to Romania.
Which is weird, but Cal, you'll probably know this as well, and like from last year, definitely. You're the judging panel that you put someone up against and put, you know, you put the show you put them into is so fucking important for certain looks. And I didn't realize this until this year, and I'm like, oh Jesus, glad I picked Sarah to go for the judge that really likes shape and structure and symmetry and doesn't want women's physique to be fucking mutants. Like, thank God I did that.
Yeah. That's the irony is, like, we traveled a lot to the US last year. Like, when you get into the mix of like Steve being head judge or Tyler being head judge, and they obviously have a massive dictation on what the generalized like winning look is going to be and what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And like the realization of, and it happened a lot with really specific people as well, of like, you're not going to get rewarded when you're in front of these kind of this judging panel. Yeah. We know that the head judge to avoid, and as silly as it sounds, it's like, it's just preference. It's objective, isn't it? And you've got to play strengths there in terms of where you feel as though you're going to get best rewarded. Like a lot of the schedules that I've got for the guys and girls competing this year, especially the pros, is more so dictated on where we know judges are going to be. Like if I know that Jack's going to be there, then I'm going to send that specific client. Or if I know that this judge is there, I'm not going to send that specific client because it's happened two or three times in a row. But it gets to a point where it's like, if I know the look has improved, but they're still not getting like they're still not getting an ounce of an eye. They're not even getting a look in. It's like there's something that's not right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm taking Lewis to the States this year, just to, because of his like freaky factor, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. I think absolutely. Like,
just to expose him, see what they think, and take that away. And
that's why I'm sending Nat to the States as well, because she's got a very much USA wellness look. She needs to dye her fucking hair blonde, because if you look at the Olympian wellness, it's like top six in the Olympian wellness, all blonde, all red bikinis, and you go, Nat, order a red bikini, dye hair blonde.
Like, Sylvia,
like, and add in 25 MCGT3. That's your plan this week, like, it's just fucking... Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's exciting. How's dad life, Tom?
Amazing, mate. Really good. Tiresome, but really good. Really good. Yeah, he started like if he's like sitting on the floor or something, if I go up to like pick him up and stuff, and I'm holding him sort of, you know, so he's able to stand, he's sort of like kicking his legs as if he's trying to walk. And if he goes in his bouncer, he's like shuffling his legs as if he's trying to run. It's quite, I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, that's coming around the corner. Like, he's 7 months old, so it's still a little bit longer away, but I think he'll be walking quite early, which is cool.
It's cold until they can walk. Then the fucking really shit happens.
Yeah. Chasing him around. Oh shit, he's in the fucking dog crate. What's he doing in there? Yeah. No, he's good. He's good. Like, he's been a bit sick. So like this, like sleep, like I said, has been really hard, because like anyone who's ill, you know, fucking going to bed, you got stuffy old nose and whatever, it's not pleasant. But as a baby, obviously, it's really tough. But I tell you what, he does have his porridge every morning, which is good. So I'm getting him on that, starting him eating well. And what did he have the other day as well?
He's on the porridge and growth, like, AMPM.
Yeah. I'm just like, you're going to be an athlete, son. He's had pulled chicken, like pulled apart, like, so he's been eating that and everything. Fucking loved that. And he was chewing on a piece of steak. Like, I had a piece of fillet steak, and he was like literally just like gnawing it and absolutely going to town on it. He ate a bit of it because it was too tough, but he was like absolutely having fun with that. Yeah, it was fun.
Good life.
It's cool, man. It's nice. Like, Zach, you'll know. Like, it's like, it's absolutely mint, but it is fucking rough, isn't it, as well?
You have two.
Yeah, well, we want one more, and then I think I'm
done it too. No more. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not being outnumbered.
We're just in the process of adding more dogs at the moment. It's like, just there's just another dog that comes up every fucking week. There's another fucking Dachshund just running around my house. Like, where does that one come from?
I'm legitimately thinking of getting another dog as well.
Are you actually?
Yeah, like, I was walking Rohan out in Ancoats the other day, and this fella stopped me who happened to be a breeder and offered me some pretty irresistible amount of money to breed with him, and then also offered me the first dog in the litter as well. So I was like, and then I know for a fact that I'll get that dog and I'll sell it for a significant profit, but then I'll see it, I'll be like, I can't let you go, That'd probably be the basis to get another one. But now I am the breeder.
Because your dog's absolutely beautiful. Like, his colouring and everything's like really,
he's deadly. And I got loads of them. I've got a couple of like some pretty mad offers to breed them, like that you'd never expect, you know.
How much?
I know how much it is. Like, one of the guys when I was a bouncer, one of the guys who I used to work with, his missus used to breed dogs, and he was you know, manager for security essentially for that club, and then like a couple of other clubs, and then did like consultancy work, and then she did this, and she was making like like triple what he'd make in a year or something from just doing the dog breeding.
Your man, the lad in the street offered me $2,500 just to stud with him.
But the it was just when English bulldogs were, it was like, because that was what they were breeding, English bulldogs and then Frenchies as well. And I think he said that one of the boys that he sold, because it was a certain breed from a certain lineage or whatever, he was offered something like $12,500, $15,000 or something for like this dog. Just like silly money, like really. And then there's like four more of them that were like 8 or 9 or 10 or 7 or whatever. And it was like, Jesus Christ, like what?
Rohan cost a pretty penny. And then
Never
get a chow chow. They're
no?
They will be extinct within like 5 years, I swear.
They're really?
Like, they're like dodos, mate. It's fucking so stupid. Trust me. No obedience.
What is it? What do you mean? What does it do that's stupid?
Yeah, they're like the cats of the dog world.
You cannot let them off the lead. They will just go and never come back. I broke my ankle chasing one down the main road. They literally have no sense. They're not people pleasers. They will literally do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, they just couldn't tolerate
But that's like their Japanese breed, the Shiba Inu. They do the same thing as well. They like, if you open the door, they're gone and they don't come back. They don't care. They don't love you. They don't want to be around you. They just want to go. Really weird. Really weird.
I'm just imagining now Ross is walking around Manchester in like a trench coat with a cane. That's like some kind of dog pimp.
Just like just vials of dog semen, just I got Frenchie, bulldog, chow chow, cocker spaniel.
We do with your dogs at the moment, Cal.
Say again,
your dogs with you at the moment,
they're ours, yeah.
He took fucking Cooper's balls off,
yeah. They're gone, mate. It had zero
effect.
Mate, honestly, like I'm completely pointless cutting them off. Ralphie, he's fucking bonkers, like absolutely fucking mental.
We'd done it with ours prematurely because he was literally eating all the skirting board. He chewed up £20 notes for a living.
Like,
yeah, literally, he would go into Amanda's handbag and pick money out and eat it.
Just the 20s. Like, fuck, he left the 50s. The dog sitting there counting change. What the fuck do you call this?
No.
Now, Rohan doesn't really eat anything, man. Like, nothing that he's not supposed to. He just constantly.
Since he had his balls done, he is calm.
Was the ball removal done as like some level of punishment, or was it done to
stop? Pretty much. Fucking an asshole. The girl that we got, she had women girl problems from like the start and had to have everything removed, so we couldn't breed them too anyway. We get asked all the time, but it was like for our own safety and fucking sanity, we had to get it done. I think we've done it about 9 months. Just because he was.
If the dogs have behavioural issues and you don't have any major plans to breed them, like it's not the biggest deal in the world. But his balls are a little money bag, so I'm not going near them for now.
You look at them every morning and you just go, that's going to make me challenge.
It's so funny as well because.
Is your fillet steak for breakfast?
No, I gave him fillet steak for his birthday. The way that he lies with like his. Actually, bullies lie down. They lie with their rear legs behind them. It's not like a normal dog. The legs are so he's his legs behind him. His balls just pressed against the floor.
So funny. Ross is there just shining them.
Yeah, they're not shiny, man. Yeah, there's a gloss on them.
If anybody has joined halfway through this podcast,
you know when people like skip like to the bit they want to listen to.
Even like the title of this podcast would be like shows, coaching, dogs, balls.
Oh man.
Going back, who's going to Ireland then? Are we having a party in Ireland?
Yeah.
That's where I'm from. We can go to my mum and cook us dinner.
I got one client in, I've got a men's physique guy doing the Ireland show.
I'll just put someone in that. Yeah,
just put anyone.
Won the Tool Classic last year.
Sorry,
you remember the kid who won the Tool Class in Classic last year
in Ireland?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Good Abiola.
Yes, I do know who he is. I do know who he is.
He's with me now. So,
is he? Unreal. All the best guys in all the best Irish bodybuilders are all of African descent. every single one of them. It's just like, they just wear a tricolour and we'll take it, you know?
Tunde, he's got crazy shape.
Yeah, and then the guy who won the card at the Open is a friend of mine as well. Do you remember Gio?
Gio
Omenka, he's fucking crazy, man. He's on the boys as well back there. They all pal around together, all the lads there. They're all really, really good, and they're all boys. They all train. Gio do well. I think Gio's going for his first pro show this year. I think he's going to jump to 212.
Oh, wicked.
You get coached by Shane.
Yeah, he's coached by Shane.
Yeah.
So
you had a guy in muscle contest bodybuilding, didn't you, Tom?
Connor Fairbairn. Yeah. He lost out in the overall to that chap. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
What's happened with Lewis? Is he not competing this year?
Lewis who?
Lewis Classic.
He's pulled the plug. Yeah, because his prep last year was like way too long, basically. That's another story. But it was too long. And then he had a short break where he wasn't allowed to basically push the weight as he'd like to, like push up. I understand why, because he needed to stay within the cap sort of thing, right? But he was basically just like, this is just like fucking boring. And who is with your person like previously and everything like that. And then he came over to me and I sort of was like, oh, well, we can like put a little bit on, but like you can't get too fucking heavy because you are really struggling to make the cap anyway. And then I started dieting him and he got like however many weeks into it, looked really good. It looked like he was coming in like, you know, on the money. And he was like, I'm so fucking sick of prep and bodybuilding. I did 30 weeks last year and I can't be fucked. But yeah. I'm like, for someone to say that who like lives and breathes it, you really are done, aren't you? Yeah, and he was like, I was like, okay, cool. Go take off season, do whatever, go do your own thing for a bit and just come back to me whenever you need, mate. So.
Yeah, because he was close last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he lost to the guy who was Cal.
Now
he started dieting after the first qualifier, basically. He was like, oh, I'll take it seriously now. And then he like turns up amazing for the pro qual.
Yeah. So, he's a specimen, mate.
Oh, man.
If I could be I adore his physique. It's crazy good. Like his ratios are fucking phenomenal.
I was with him in person there the week before last, and it's just a whole different kettle of fish. Him and Yemi sitting there posing, I was like, I feel so fucking inferior. I was like, I'm so glad I'm the coach and not like some jealous athlete.
hoodie on.
Yeah, exactly. Just busy two of them and Oscar. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna back up.
Is he going for the Ben Ireland or?
Who?
That Matt.
Matt McCullough's doing Ben Weeder, and obviously he'll do either Ireland as an amateur or a pro.
Yeah, nice.
Niall's a fucking he's a unique specimen. Like I've like, you know when you like push someone and you like expect to see them respond the way you predict when you're like aggressive with stuff. It's been one of the most cautious, moderate processes I've ever had with a client in the off season, and his body is just like that every single week.
I'm up this much. I'm up this much. I'm up this much. I've progressed this much. I've progressed this much. Yeah. I remember, mate. He won like an overall natural in two bros.
Yeah.
You know, before, and then he took time out and went on stuff. But he's like. Someone was telling me, the guy who coached him like previously, was that one of his buddies? He was like, oh yeah, he was like eating like super noodles and like all sorts of random shit, and he was like still dropping weight. And then something to do with gear, they put like the most minuscule amount in, and then they were dying to make weight because he just was growing into the show.
Yeah.
And yeah, really crazy. Really crazy genetics.
I think the chap was called Phil.
Yeah, that's it.
I remember when he started with me, I had a call with it was like the handover of Christ when he started with me. It was like he's like the transfer window had opened and he rang me. I remember I was sat in the car like just chatting to him about obviously what he'd done with Niall and the fact that he'll be a very good one for the future. Same with Ross is I'd like to call him the Predator, but I don't think he likes the nickname. But
no, he does like the Predator. He does like the Predator.
Yem's the same. It's like it's just crazy.
Yeah, when you see Yemi in person, it's like he looks like fucking Goku. it's fucking crazy. It's weird, man. He was posing for me in FLF the other day, and like his body weight isn't very high, so I was like, oh god, okay, I haven't seen him since because he finished the Arnolds. He'd done a small rebound or whatever, and he was kind of at the arse end of that. And then I was like, right, I'm going to see him in person. Like, body weight, and he got frustrated with his body weight not moving as assertively as he wanted. I was like, just don't weigh yourself, just send me your photos, you're good, and we'll weigh you when we get up here. And he came up, right, and like, obviously, he's just plugging over 100 now. And like, because there's so little of him in the middle, you know, like, his body weight is the weirdest thing ever. He's like this in the middle. Like, his waist is 28 inches in the off season. You know, like, it's just, so then he hits that mad front relax that he does.
Oh, yeah,
it looks like a Dorito. I'm like, it's the wildest thing. And I say, and he was standing beside Naz, I was like, he's not small. I was like, this is fucking mad. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see what he's like when he gets up there. But he's still moving well now. He'll do, I'm gonna do relatively short and assertive with him into Ireland because, like, he doesn't really get fat. Like, so, I should be able to squeeze, I'd say 9-10 weeks would be more than enough for him.
Yeah,
awesome. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a very good cool. year.
And it'll be cool to do. It'll be cool to do this as well. Sorry, but pardon me.
To do what?
To do the podcast. To be able to catch up with the shows and review everything. It'll be sick.
It'll be cool. I think we're going to be, we'll see a lot of each other over the year, as always. Like, walking to Maidenhead, it's like, right, boys, just good to go sort out
what we'll do is, some of these shows, I'll take the camera gear down and we'll do like an in-person podcast as well.
Oh, that would be cool.
Imagine getting all your clients done for the evening, and like, we'll sit down for an hour in the fucking hotel restaurant and do a
podcast. Make sure everyone's primed and ready to go for the next.
Everyone will like that.
Everyone's done with your clients, so we'll call it like 2-3 in the morning.
By 1 a.m. we'll be right.
But I remember going for food with Cal when I was with my brother, and we went to a pizza place questionable, but we went there, we had some food, and Cal's there like peeking Craig, and he was like asking, how many grams of carbs in this much sorin? And I'm like, the sorin loaf, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, I'm just going to Google for him. And he's like there like working out like, what are you going to eat? He's like we're there just, and he's eating fucking what we have, some fucking brownie sundae sort of thing, and he's like carving him up.
A massive pizza that I remember it.
Yeah, enormous pizza and then some like dessert, and he's there just like peeking like multiple people for the next day. So funny.
Can you remember the size of that naan bread we had in, where was that?
Oh, in Cheadle, back in instead. Yeah, that was funny. That was funny.
Oh yeah, after the seminar, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good.
Craig's the funniest person, mate, to peak. Like, he's the most chilled out person you'll ever meet. You know, in some clients, you can like sense the level of
stress,
the level of stress that's in them. Even when you walk in the room and you like get the ambience in the room, you're like, he's pretty stressed out at the moment. Craig is he's literally like horizontal in terms of stress levels. Like, he just,
I'd be like that too if I was that attractive. I just sit there, probably just waiting for life to give me good things. I look like him.
So you're massively jacked. You're a pro. You've got this really cool long hair and you're handsome as well. Yeah. Right, mate.
He's like Tarzan on gear, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like the Witcher from the Wirral.
Yeah. I'm gonna kill you. Craig's the same though. Craig like. I think he sort of grasps the sort of environment that he's in. He just rocks up and he just plays it as cool as fuck.
Yeah. He's a cool dude. He's just sound as well, man. He's a really, really cool guy.
When he asked you, Cal, should I just go to a gym and get a pump now?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's like, Tom, if you see him, just stop him if he's going to drive to a gym. It's like before he goes to stage. This was like before stage. He was like, should I just go to a gym and get a pump and then drive back?
he was gonna drive to the Pure Gym to get a pump and then head to Maidenhead.
Did you not realise there's a fucking gym at Maidenhead?
I just don't. I think he was thinking it was last by the time he made it. It's been a pleasure. I'm gonna have to sort out my little boy and get him ready for bed.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up anyway, mate, I think.
Awesome.
Go on.
That's pretty much the news. That's the news done.
Dog balls and bodybuilding.
I'll pop Tom and Martin's social media tags, etc. In the bios. What are both of your Instagram tags, just so I can drop them in?
Evolution_training.
Martin underscore Winston.
I love it. Al Cal just asked that as if he's going to fucking remember.
Yeah. As if he's not going to go on Instagram and check in 10 minutes.
Yeah. It's like Tom Haynes. Oh, fucking hell, Cal. Come
on. I meant for the listeners, Zach. So the listeners.
Listeners, go and grab a pen. They're probably not going to remember either.
Anyway, that was episode 2. Thanks for listening. Cheers, lads, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yes.